The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I felt completely hopeless that I would never, ever be able to live a different lifestyle, that I would never change for any use of any kind for any good.
I am dead to sin and I am alive to God. And I'm a whole new different creature now that you're going to be dealing with, than the one that you have dealt with before.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers. Recently, we did a poll on Twitter asking, do you believe that God can change you? Well, here are the results. 96% said yes, 3% said no, and 1% said, I just don't know. Well, that tells us that we believe in the power of God, which is awesome. You believe that He can do that. But the question is, will He actually do it? And can I do the part that I need for that change to happen? So is there hope for us to change? Joyce is going to show us why the answer to that question is a big yes. And we'll share how God changed the life of a former Las Vegas prostitute. The lure of money, love, and control led Annie Laubert into a life of prostitution.
I wanted to make my pimp happy. I was so in love with him. So I'd come to the strip with total excitement. I thought to myself, okay, I'm gonna make $10,000 tonight, and I'm gonna come home, and he's gonna love me.
The glamour of the Las Vegas Strip was a snare, leading to an abusive nightmare that lasted 16 years.
And he took me to the back of the house, shoved my face in dog feces, and told me, I'm your pimp. These are the rules. You made me do this. You stay in line. I won't have to do this ever again. He goes, you know, you think this is all about love? Let me tell you what I love, money. I felt completely hopeless that I would never, ever be able to live a different lifestyle, that I would never change for any use of any kind for any good.
You really can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The greater one who lives in you really is greater than he that's in the world. You really are a great person. You really are an amazing creature. And you really do have a really, really, really good heart. Because God has given you His heart and He's put His Spirit in you. And amazing, more than amazing than anything, He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. You are right with God through the blood of Christ. And in your spirit, there is righteousness, not wrongness. Wrongness may be in your soul. Wrongness may be displayed through your flesh. But in your spirit, there is righteousness. You are full of the righteousness of God and right desires and right want-tos. And God would never ask us to get out in the world and do right if He didn't give us the equipment to do right. So here's what it is. You've got what it takes. You have got what it takes, but the devil doesn't want you to know that. So he keeps you thinking about how bad you are, and how no good you are, and how often you fail, and how you don't this, and you don't that, and you don't something else. And I'm telling you, you need to start talking back to the devil and saying, I am a new creature in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. My sins are forgiven. I am full of the righteousness of God, and I may not be where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm learning. I'm growing. You have to keep your mind on who you are in Christ. That doesn't mean that we're not responsible for our mistakes, but we can't just camp on top of them all the time and not do anything but think about what we don't do, we don't do, we don't do, we don't do. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments and tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you've been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. You know, we're always, well, I just wish the devil would leave me alone. Well, he ain't going to leave you alone. He is never going to leave you alone. Get that. He is never going to leave you alone. I remember saying to Dave, years and years ago, when we were trying to start this ministry, and it was just one thing after another, after another, after another, and I just got so tired of dealing with stuff all the time, and I said to him, when are we ever going to get to the point where we don't have to deal with something all the time? And he said, never. And I guess we still deal with stuff all the time. To be honest, I don't pay that much attention to it now. I just deal with it and go on about my business. We make too much out of these things that happen to us. We don't want to resist God. We want to yield to God and make sure that we resist the enemy. Verse 16 in Romans 6 says, don't you know that if you continue to surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you become a slave of him whom you obey? Now, many of you have had the sad experience of being a slave to some kind of addiction because you yielded to that over and over and over and over. And it became a controlling factor in your life. But God does not want anything from the outside controlling us. He wants us to be led, guided, and controlled from the inside. Now, the devil will press, he will push, and he will torment. The thing about God is he suggests, and he's gentle, and we're led by these little promptings that sometimes, if you're not sensitive to God, are almost imperceptible. What are you yielding to? Are you yielding to the flesh, or are you yielding to the Spirit?
As a little girl, I grew up just wanting the love of my father, who was very abusive and angry. And that catapulted into relationships after relationships of abuse and being used. And then eventually I decided to sell myself because I became desperate to that point of, if I have money, maybe someone will finally love me. My first trick I ever turned was $500, and I didn't have to have sex. Like literally, I took my clothes off and it was over. And I walked out and took the money.
Did you feel a sense of control at that point?
Absolutely. It was empowering.
How many times out here did you almost lose your life?
I couldn't count, actually.
You can't even count.
No. I've been choked out more times than I can count on calls. And the trick starts to choke you and asphyxiate you. And then you pass out, and then you wake up, the trick's gone, your money's gone, your cell phone's gone, sometimes even your jewelry. That happened a lot.
What does it feel like for you now to be here?
It feels exciting and redemptive.
That's surprising.
I know.
Surprising and redemptive and not painful and memories flooding in.
No, they used to, though. When I first came down here, it was not like this. It was a little bit difficult for me. And now I look at all the casinos and I think, they're so beautiful. Really? They are beautiful, but the most beautiful thing about the casinos to me is the people that are inside them.
What do you see in those people?
I'll see a girl that's working, that is being sex trafficked, that is not a new working girl. She's been working for a couple years now, and she has been in this slavery for a while. And she's at this point where I'm walking, but I'm a zombie. I'm walking, but I'm the living dead. I'm walking, but I don't feel anything. And if I do, I fake a smile.
And you can recognize that when you see it?
I can.
So for you, when did you stop acting? When did that mask begin to crumble for you, and you saw your life changing?
For me, it was August 2nd, 2003. And that's the night I overdosed.
And I knew I could never
Which
be Fallon
again. Sounds like the most terrible night of your life, and yet you have a smile on your face
it
when
is,
you share
it's
it.
My birthday.
Yeah.
It's my surrender birthday, that's what I call it. It's when I finally said, okay, God, I am ready for you to take whatever you want to do with my life. Get rid of my need to feel valued by a man. Just take it from me. And he did.
There is definitely a war for man's soul. And we need to understand the difference between our spirit, our soul, and our body. We understand the body pretty well. We look at it all the time in the mirror. We dress it, we feed it. When it doesn't feel good, we lay it down. But we don't understand as much about the soul. And we probably even understand very little about the spirit. But maybe even the spirit we understand even more than the soul. The spirit is the deepest part of your being. You have a spirit, a human spirit. And if you're not born again, then your human spirit is disconnected from the Spirit of God. God is a spirit, and he communicates with us spiritually. So if you're not alive to God or not full of God, then you're going to miss everything that God wants to say to you in your life. When a person receives Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of them, and once again, they become alive to God. One of the things that happens when you become alive to God is you begin to hear from God. And it's not necessarily words that you hear, but you begin to sense things spiritually. I call it a holy knowing. There's just a knowing that you shouldn't do that or you should do that. Well, then it's our job to yield to what we're sensing in our spirit. However, at the same time, Satan, because he wants to keep us from growing, he will be pressuring us, not through our spirit because he can't get in there, but he'll be coming at us from outside, trying to use our soul, which is the second layer of our being. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So he'll come through the outside trying to get into our soul and then back out through our body. So his ugliness and his trash and his meanness comes out through us. God, on the other hand, is in us, and he's trying to work from the inside to work through our soul and out through our body with his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his love and his stability. So we're in quite a war, and it goes on pretty much all day long in different ways. How many of you sense that sometimes, that you just feel like you're in a war? And the Bible says that. Actually, in 2 Corinthians 10, it teaches us that we have a war going on in our mind. And I believe that the mind is like, although the mind is part of the soul, because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, I believe that our mind is kind of like the major doorway to the soul. If we don't do something about our thinking, then we're never going to get our life straightened out.
Most of the girls that are doing this are just, the first place is that they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And they were just like me. They are a relationship addict. And they're looking for that daddy figure. And it's funny because the pimps call themselves daddy. They make the girls, they make us call them daddy. And so that fills that hole temporarily until they realize that their daddy's abusive. He's controlling. He takes all their money. He hits them. He follows them wherever they go. He doesn't allow them to go see their family or their friends. And basically, they realize they're a prisoner. And so that's the point that I like to talk to the girls when they're tired of their daddy.
You had a long healing process ahead of you. You had a lot to learn how to become that person you wanted to be. How did that happen for you?
After I left prostitution, I was still empty. Corporate America, working in a successful job, didn't give me that emptiness that I was looking for. And honestly, the only thing that filled that void in my life was finding out that money couldn't fill it, that relationships couldn't fill it, that success couldn't fill it. Only the love of God could fill that empty hole. And that's exactly what I needed as a little girl, was his love.
God's word is full of power that changes lives.
I was laying in bed one night and I heard this loud, kind of like pushy, like bossy voice, like, "Well, bless God. And, you know, God loves you." And I was like, what the heck? You know, who is this? And I started listening to what this woman was saying, and it was Joyce.
God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He doesn't.
And those words started entering my heart, like, it doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. You know, God has a wonderful plan for your life if you just would give him the chance to believe. And I was like, what? My friend went out and bought me an Amplified Bible, and I started reading the Word of God. He loves me. He's not embarrassed. He's proud of me. I'm his daughter. And I felt so wonderful that night.
Even while you still were not perfect, it wasn't about you fixing everything. It was just about who God was.
Yes, and it was just like this revelation that, yeah, he does love me. I am loved by him. And I just became very passionate about learning God's word. If you want to get better, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to find out who God is, how much love he has for you, and get books and the Bible, obviously, to help you get to know him better, who he is as a father, who he is as a husband if you don't have one, who he is as a best friend, as a guide, as a counselor, as a comforter. If you don't have those, you're not going to understand God, and you won't be able to really relate to others and get the healing that you're looking for.
One of the big drives, one of the things that came out of your change was your desire to help women do what you did, to make those big changes in their life and to come out of that industry.
In 2005, I started to do the first outreach on the Strip. And it was really scary at first because I thought I would be rejected, but I was pleasantly surprised that the girls didn't reject me.
When we receive Christ, we get a brand new nature. We become a new person on the inside. God puts something in our spirit that not only makes us alive to him, but we get a brand new want to. A new want to. All of a sudden now something deep down inside of you is wanting to do good things. But many times we're not successful because we still have the devil pressing through this outer man. And so we need time to feed the inner man enough of the Word of God and to practice the good things that God asks us to do and begin to learn how wonderful it is to have those kind of victories. And we grow and we grow and we grow. If you're growing, that's good. You don't have to be mad at yourself because you've not arrived. The good news is, keep growing. We spend too much time being upset because we haven't arrived, and it keeps us from enjoying the journey. And we spend way too much time thinking about everything that's wrong with us and not enough time thinking about the new creature that we are in Christ and what God has enabled us to do. But I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh. Now, I'm actually going to be using this scripture a lot at our women's conference too, because God has really been impressing on me that it's possible for us to preach so much about what we shouldn't do that we never get around to preaching enough about what we should do. And if we just never do anything but try to work on what we shouldn't do, we actually end up in a fight with our own flesh. And it just becomes very frustrating. But if we'll concentrate on just doing good, then there's no room for bad. If you get up every morning and fill your mind full of things that you can do for other people and do it on purpose, because you will have to do it on purpose. We don't ever have to act bad on purpose. That's just going to happen if we don't do something to act good. I've never had to try to be selfish. I've never had to try to be impatient. It's just right there, sure enough. But I can make an effort in Christ, not my own effort, but in Him, to do the right thing. And as soon as we take that step, we say, God, I want to do the right thing. And as soon as we take that step, He links up with us and gives us the strength that we need to do the right thing. We have to learn to be sensitive to these temptations that God gives us to be good, and just really learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When we think about being led by the Holy Spirit, we think about being led to the mission field, being led into our pulpit ministry, and, you know, being led to write the best worship song that's ever been written. But let me tell you something. The first place you learn to be led is in the little, teeny, tiny, everyday affairs of life. And if we won't obey God there, then we're not going to obey Him other places either. And those things are still probably more important to me than other things. I love my daily walk with God. I love being led by Him. If you're going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, every day will be an adventure, because you never know what He's going to come up with on any given day. And it takes a real closeness with God, I believe, to just get up every day and follow Him. How many times do we pray for God to do something for somebody that He's given us the ability to do it, but we just don't want to make the sacrifice? If God shows us a need, it's because He wants us to have the joy of meeting the need. He doesn't want us to pray that somebody else will do it. Verse 2, Romans 6. Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? We died to sin when we received Christ. The spiritual part of us died to sin. In your heart, you no longer want to sin. Your flesh may want to sin. Parts of your uncrucified soul may want to sin. But the real you, the renewed you, the new creature you, the born again you, does not want to sin. That's why you cannot do it and do it comfortably. You can sin and be comfortable when you're not born again, but you have a hard time with it when you're born again, unless you get a very, very, very hard heart and become very insensitive to the Holy Spirit, which is also possible but very dangerous. Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? When you go down in the water, you're signifying burial to the old life. When you come up, you're signifying resurrected to a new life. It's already happened spiritually the moment you receive Christ. Now, this is just simply an outward sign. This water baptism is an outward sign, making a declaration, especially to enemy spirits, that I am dead to sin and I am alive to God, and I'm a whole new different creature now that you're going to be dealing with, than the one that you have dealt with before. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so that we might habitually live and behave in newness of life. No wonder Paul said to the Galatians, don't be weary in well-doing. You are going to have to do what's right for a while before you're going to get a right result. I want to make sure our television people get that. You're going to have to do what's right for a while before you get a right result. When you sow seed, it takes a little bit of time before you get the harvest.
So yes, with God in your life, there is hope for us to change, no matter how hopeless you may feel. And it takes time and it takes study, but there is no question the hope is real. And when you see what He's done in Annie's life, you see what He's done in Joyce's life, I know what He's done in mine, I have every confidence that He will do it in yours as well. Our social media friends are saying the very same thing. This is Trudy from Canada, and she says, changing the way I think has made a big difference in my life. Instead of thinking negative, I've started thinking positive, and I no longer have feelings of harming myself. I still struggle with my identity in Christ, but I am far from the way I used to think. Well, Trudy, we will keep praying for you. Don't give up on this battle. God wants to help you. He wants to help change you and everyone watching right now. Encourage one another. This week on social media, here's our question for you. What has God changed about you? It's so encouraging to see those things. I know for me, He has made me much more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if you know me, that's kind of a miracle. I tend to be really busy and going fast and wrapped up in my own world sometimes. And God has been changing that in my life. And I'm so grateful. There's a long way to go, but we want to hear about you. Let us know on Facebook, on the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page, on Twitter, use hashtag EA and answer that question for us.
Okay, I gotta hold on.
Where are you going?
Hey, while you're online, you have got to check something out. The change that Annie thought was impossible has been so incredible in her life that she's now helping other women through that same transformation at a home called Destiny House. To help, we gave Annie a huge surprise that blew her away.
I'm in shock right now. Can you tell? I don't know how to feel right now. It's like
you can see it online. You don't want to miss it.
And if you would like some more help to make this change very real in your life, we have a wonderful package today to offer you. It's called the Start Your New Life Package. There's a book called Start Your New Life Today, and it says an exciting new beginning with God. And along with that, you'll get this. It's Joyce's 4-CD teaching on how to survive change. And I love what this says, learning to trust God and to believe for transformation. These are available to you today. And the more we study, the more we know what God's Word says in our life, the more support that we have to make those changes that you need to make. So pick these up right now. Don't wait. Here is a peek at next week's Everyday Answers.
Now, if you'll go home and start to do these kinds of things, I'm not going to tell you that, boy, are things going to come up roses in 2 days. They won't. But the day will come when you'll think, I am so glad that I finally stopped running away from everything that was hard.
Of course, if you want to ask a question anytime, do it online. Use hashtag AskJoyce. We are always looking through those questions, and we answer as many of them as we can right here on the show. And as we close today, I'm just going to ask you to pray and ask God to use you to bless someone else today. You will be amazed at the opportunities that He will open up for you. It could be as simple as a smile. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.